Hi, thanks for listening to My Two Cents. I'm Tim, and this is episode 31. Jealousy really is an ugly emotion. I had to, and still probably have to, work through some of my own right now. Probably the first time in a long time, maybe ever, but I'm sure not ever, that I've actually felt some jealousy. You know, it's not something I'm proud of, and it wasn't until I admitted it to myself on the train ride back from work that it started to, the sort of bad mood I was in started to get a little bit better. And this is all related to my roommate Joe, who came back from London and Amsterdam yesterday. I think Wednesday, actually, but yesterday I saw him for the first time, and I got to hear some of his stories, and it was fantastic to see him. I was really happy to see him. And it's just not, well, it's not a pleasant, like, it's super unattractive as an emotion, because it's like, I am genuinely happy that he had such a great time. It's just that gross feeling that I guess it's envy, technically, not jealousy, because jealousy is when I have something and I don't want someone else to have it. Envy is when I don't have something and I want their thing, whatever it is. So, you know, yeah, I'm envious of this trip that he went on because he had such a good time and he met so many interesting people and got to explore, and I just love traveling, and, you know, I'm obviously not traveling right now. Part of it's because I don't have a ton of vacation days and I'm using them to visit family, and part of it's because I don't have any money, but I'm working on that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of not too thrilled with myself, frankly, and I shouldn't be mad at myself for feelings. You know, it's what I do with the feeling that matters. It's not that I'm feeling that way, but, you know, feeling a little guilt for feeling jealous of my best friend for being in Europe and having a good time. You know, it's like, that's not fair to him at all. So, but, he's also, so, I mean, yesterday we talked for quite a while, but I still bailed because I wanted to go work out, and then he was toast. I mean, I think he was just, I don't think he'd slept solidly for 3 or 4 days because of all the partying and time zone and travel and all that stuff, so, but, and then today he was with his high school friend who's living in Chicago also, and they were smoking, so it wasn't going to be a conversational night anyway, which is fine, because I didn't get back to the apartment till like 9:30, because I went to work late, because I was talking to Joe late last night, so I left late, stayed late, and then I went and worked out a lot, which was good. Yeah, actually, something funny happened when I was in the pool. I was doing laps, and I was looking at looking at the one thing you look at when you're doing laps, which is the bottom lane line, just endless laps staring at the line. And I watched this horror movie on Halloween with my friend Kate, and it's actually on Netflix. It's The Haunting of Hill House. Free shout out for them. But I'm not a horror person. It terrifies me. I don't do well with it at all. And the ending of that first episode, I still have the image burned into my retina, and I was literally seeing the ending scene on the bottom of the pool. Just like, ugh. So I definitely had a very fast workout. I was just going, just like, I can't be thinking about this right now, so then I'd go faster. And then I'd be like, okay, I can't breathe. So, yeah, I'm still not super thrilled with the balance or lack thereof in my life. I'm trying to figure out how frequently to go out on the weekends and spend time with friends, and how often to stay in and not do that, and I know that it's not working right now because I'm not doing any of my long runs, or, you know, which I use typically is a way to reset and kind of, well, talk to God, I guess, and explore the city. And I haven't really done any. I've done maybe two since I've been here in May. So that's two long runs in 6 months. That's just not, I mean, I don't want to say not acceptable because these are the choices I've been making, but it's not what I want and it's not how I want to structure my life. So something's got to give. And I think I just need to be a little bit less, I don't even know how to say it. Less party-y. Less. Man, I sound like I'm stoned. I can't get my words out. I've been having this problem all day. I was at work. The first thing I pinged off to one of my coworkers, made a spelling typo, and then corrected it. And as I was correcting it, I made a grammar typo. And then I, of course, corrected that. And I was like, just forget it. I can't even type. So it's been one of those days where I just am not firing on all cylinders. I think it's because I'm not well rested. Sleep is pretty important for me. I think it's important for a lot of people, but it's really important for me. I don't do well without regular sleep. Anyway, yeah. I mean, that also is another reason I don't want to be partying as much. And partying is maybe the wrong word, but going out with friends to bars, going out dancing, which I love doing. But it's just, you know, it kills basically both weekend days, and I'm out until 2 minimum, usually later, and, you know, I'm toast. It's exhausting. So, and then sleep schedule got all screwed up, and then the next day I just want to lounge around and not do anything. So that's been the trend. And that's a lot of time that I am devoting to recovering from fun times with friends. So I think I need to just do fun things with friends that don't revolve around staying out late. And yeah, no, that's basically it. Because I don't always drink, and sometimes I will a lot, and sometimes I won't at all. It's usually one of the two. I usually get drunk or I don't drink. I don't, because to me, alcohol's like, it never has tasted good, so it's always a means to an end. So if I'm drinking, I'm trying to get drunk, otherwise, why am I, it tastes bad. Like, everybody's like, oh, I like the taste of beer, I got used to it. I've never been there, I didn't drink very much in college, I haven't gotten used to the taste of any kind of alcohol. I choose whiskey, and I say I like whiskey, but I still will typically only drink it if I'm planning on getting a little bit drunk, because it's still, like, I like it, it's very effective, and I like it in the way that some people like hot sauce that's way too spicy. Like, it's not objectively pleasant. It actually kind of hurts, or it tastes bad. But it's like the challenge of it, almost. The punishment of it that I enjoy. So, that's why I say I like whiskey. So, yeah, I mean, I'll drink that, but it's, I'll do that like at a family event if people are kind of expecting you to get a drink. And I've got one alcoholic uncle, ex-alcoholic, I suppose. He's been through rehab a couple times. I think he's clean on the alcohol, so that's good. But so he's always, if we're ever in a restaurant that has a bar, he always wants to buy everybody drinks. Probably trying to live vicariously. So whenever he does that, I make sure to always order a whiskey or whatever, something. But, yeah, I think I just need to do a little bit better job structuring my weekends. My weeks are pretty good because I'm structured. If I put a little structure into my weekends, I'll be able to get more things done and still hang out with some friends and have the chance to meet some new people, too. Maybe I'll meet a nutbag who likes to work out as much as I do. They're out there. I see them at the gym. The gym was not empty at Friday at a 7-8 o'clock at night. The gym was not empty. There were people there. I was one of them. But so there are nutbags that are either that obsessive or that into working out. So yeah, you know, I just got to meet some of these people. Make friends with people that are like, oh yeah, you want to go run? Well, that's the only sucky thing. Like, it'd be cool to meet people and be like, let's work out together, let's go on a run together. But I hate going on runs with people because, like I said before, it's like my prayer time. So unless they'd be cool just like running in silence, but even that can get awkward and it's tough to pace, and then I'm thinking about them and how to keep up, or do, am I going too fast, too slow, whatever. If it's just me, I don't give a fuck if I stop and say hi to eight dogs or decide to... Well, I don't usually bring my wallet or my phone, so I couldn't get on a bus to bus back. But, you know, like, stop and take a look at the view or breathe the air at the lake or whatever. You know, but if I'm with somebody, I feel weird being like, hey, let's stop and pet this dog. Like, what? What? Okay. You know? So, maybe not a running club, per se, but something like that. Yeah, I was listening to an interview today on this show that I watch on YouTube, and the woman he was interviewing was talking about how she was a former addict, and she was talking about how the toughest parts for her, even once she was out of her addiction to heroin, and then shopping and then food after that. But even once she was kind of through those, it was still, her life still wasn't really in order. And I mean, she said it's still not completely, but nobody ever is. She was kind of like, the hard part was figuring out a way to get her identity to not be on something that could leave. So if her identity was based on, I'm successful at work, or I am, you know, clean, or I am, you know, a good wife or a good husband, you know, whatever the thing is, if it's an external thing or something that could disappear, you're building a house on a castle of, on a foundation of sand. It could be gone. So her recommendation was to set up your life in such a way that who you are is based on the type of person you want to be. So she said she was not an empathetic person. She thought that expressing emotions was a sign of weakness. She stuffed hers deep and hid them off from people, and was never empathetic, even with herself, let alone with others. And so she finally learned to be empathetic with herself, and then slowly worked on it with other people. And she said now it's a skill that she's practiced to the point that now that's one of the things she's good at. And so that's, she's adopted that as part of her identity, something that she's worked at, but also it's, a lot of people consider it like a personality trait or a tendency. So, like, stuff like that, where even if all of my friends and family die, even if I'm homeless on the streets, even if I don't know where my next meal's coming from, I can still say I am very patient. Like, that's one thing that I know is true for me. Just, you know, little things like that. And if you can build your enough of your life into knowing who you are and who I am as a person, it makes it easier to, you know, get through the tough times, and also to remember that, you know, bad shit happens, but the only thing really within our control is how to react to situations, as well as the story that kind of goes with it. So, you know, I can calamitize and catastrophize any event and be like, oh, this is the end. You know, this is a sign of worse things to come, or this happened because of me and I am an awful person. Or I can say, this is what happened and here's how I'm going to interpret it. And it's not quite like putting a positive spin on everything, because that's a little bit fake, I think. But it's more like, if I'm having a conversation with Joe, for example, and I get the sense that I'm being boring, which has happened both days, the last 2 days, I can tell myself, ooh, I'm not as good of a conversationalist, we're out of maybe a rhythm, maybe he's changed and isn't quite as into my boring-ass conversations, I talk too much about working out, and I did mention that to him, and get all self-conscious, and that's like my story around what's going on. Or I could simply say, he might just be exhausted, and I may not be on my A game, but this doesn't mean that I am a boring person. It may just mean that I'm a little overtired, and all I'm doing right now is working out. In the last 2 days, working out and going to work, essentially. And so, you know, that's totally fine. Don't beat yourself up about that, and just choose what to do with this situation. If I'm not happy with the conversations I've been having, then make the next one better and come into it more open to listening and more open to being present, which I think that part I was decent at. But, you know, just kind of do something with it, or just accept that this is what happened and move on, you know? It's just... It I don't know. The interview that she did was pretty good, but I don't think it's anything groundbreaking that I had not heard before. Yeah. I'm trying to sort out my life, as everyone is, I'm sure. So, it's tough, because it seems like every week I get more information that pulls me in a different, not different direction, but I just, you know, I'm having a tough time sticking with something. I'll stick with, like, I'm sticking obviously with, like, working out and going to work, but I'm not sticking with enough of the other things that I'm trying to do on the side, I don't think. I guess I'm sticking with guitar, barely, but, yeah, I'm just, I don't know, a little bit confused, a little bit lost. It's okay, it's where I am right now, and had to wrestle with some uncomfortable emotions the last couple of days. Still not over it, I don't think. I think I will be by the end of the weekend, but, man, envy is not a pretty thing. It's gross. I'm not enjoying being in its grips right now. But it's what I do with it, so what I'm going to do with it is use it to learn, get better at recognizing emotions, and use it to maybe fuel a little bit of work in my own life, and try to remember that the reason I'm feeling envious is actually that Joe had an amazing time and had some awesome experiences, and I'm really just mostly focused on the fact that I'm very happy for him and glad he had some meaningful stuff happen. So, yeah, I think I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.